The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. Exopolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions of Phoenix, Arizona, and can be heard worldwide on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Our audio archives, which remain free and open to the public as a service 24/7, are at exopoliticsradio.com. And we urge you to come and visit them early, late, often. Some people come and, you know, just use them as a library, as a cosmic resource. Now, Exopolitics Radio is a listener-sponsored radio station, like National Public Radio, like Vancouver Co-op Radio, like many of the public radio stations in the 60 countries in which Exopolitics Radio is heard. So, if you are able, and in order to help Exopolitics Radio stay on the air with the necessary expenses that we do incur, please come and visit us at exopoliticsradio.com. And there's a little link there on the side. Some people write in and say, how can we donate? Just go to the side there. It says donate, and you can donate there. And that's how we stay on the air, is through the listeners, because we're a listener-sponsored radio station. Now, we are broadcast weekly at 9 p.m. Central Time on UPRN 105.8 FM in New Orleans. And we want to congratulate the people of New Orleans who have lived through Hurricane Gustav and are on their way back or back safely in their homes. Exopolitics Radio online affiliates include Paranormal Radio Network, Revere Radio Network, and Kansas City Online Radio Network. And we're heard in over 60 countries and 492 cities around the world, including all 50 states of the USA and, of course, in Canada. I'm your ever-present and elusive host, Alfred Weber. And this week we have a very exciting show with the producer and host and curator of PresidentialUFO.com, researcher Grant Cameron, who is here to discuss with us in an exclusive Exopolitics Radio interview as to the Democratic and Republican ticket of Barack Obama and Joe Biden on the Democratic side, and John McCain and Governor Sarah Palin on the Republican side, what the future of exopolitics or extraterrestrial disclosure looks like in the United States. And, of course, around the world, the U.S. being sort of the last holdout nation in extraterrestrial disclosure. We've all been following the issue of the January 8th, 2008 Stephenville, Texas sighting, now with the FAA releasing the 2.8 million radar returns MUFON radar report showing that an actual UFO, apparent spaceship, extraterrestrial spaceship, or ARV, between 524 feet to 1,048 feet, I'm just quoting from the report there, 524 is May 24th. That's Queen Victoria's birthday. It's an old Masonic number, of course. Flew over the Texas White House on January 8th, 2008, which was Elvis Presley's birthday. So whether or not that's a false flag operation or a genuine ET operation. That's what we're here at Exopolitics Radio to deconstruct. But we have Grant Cameron here to address what the incoming president and vice president on each of the Democratic and Republican tickets, what that might look like now that we know what those two tickets are. But before that happens, we'd like to bring you an Exopolitics Radio commentary, an official commentary on some breaking news on an election being held just north of the U.S. border, or as we say here in Canada, in advance of the election south of the border, and that is in Canada. And Conservative Prime Minister Stephen Harper has taken major steps to call a snap election to be held if this is confirmed, and we will know this program is being taped in advance of September 6, 2008. So we will know by the time this program airs. But it looks like Prime Minister Harper may call a federal election for on or about October 14th, 2008. Now, that is the date that was announced in various dimensional information sources for a, quote, Galactic Federation First Contact announcement of October 14th, 2008. So the question is Prime Minister Stephen Harper's, who, by the way, went to the Bilderberger meeting in 2003 before he became Canadian Prime Minister and probably took the Bilderberger Oath and, you know, the wink and the nod and became Prime Minister material, and whether or not Prime Minister Harper's October 14th election call in Canada is a coincidence or part of a deliberate anti-extraterrestrial psyops. And you can read that article by going directly to our website at exopolitics.com. Go to exopolitics.com and you will read a lengthy article that is now posted in many places throughout the world, ranging from the Rumor Mill News Reading Room, which I'm reading from right now, to the Netherlands, to Spain, and other places. And what has occurred, and I'll go through this very briefly, is that Harper, all of a sudden, in Canada, by law, the election campaigns are only about 30 days long. And Harper had passed a law setting fixed elections, and the next fixed election would not be till October 2009. But all of a sudden, he went and called an election for October 2008 that no one can figure out why, because according to the Ipsos Reid polls, 60% of Canadians oppose the election at this time, and only 40% are in favor. There's mixed polls, but it looks like his party is in trouble in the battleground provinces of Ontario and Quebec, and in fact was scheduled to lose 3 seats in a by-election that were scheduled for September 8th. None of the 3 opposition party leaders can understand why he's doing it. And in fact, Harper's close allies, the Canadian Jewish Congress, because Harper's a strong Israel backer, have written to Harper asking him not to hold the election on October 14th, because October 14th, 15th, 21st, or 22nd are key parts of the Jewish religious festival Sukkot, and observant Jews would not be able to work for candidates if the election date were set for October 14th. So the list goes on and on and on that nobody can figure out why he's doing it, and he's already started running John McCain-style TV campaign ads. Now, those of you may know that there has been circulating on the internet a first kind of a dimensional communication through a Galactic Federation telepath Blossom Goodchild from Eastern Australia. And you can view that if you go to exopolitics.com. And those of you who haven't seen that, we will read significant parts of it here. It says, "To leaders, governors, politicians, and all peoples of Earth, we wish it to be understood that on the 14th day of your month of October in the year 2008, a craft of great size shall be visible in your skies. It shall be in the south of your hemisphere, and it shall scan over many of your states. We give to you the name of Alabama. It has been decided that we shall remain within your atmosphere for a minimum of 3 of your 24-hour periods. During this time, there will be much commotion among your earth plane. Your highest authorities will be intruding into our atmospherics that surround our ship. This security field is necessary for us, as there shall take place a farce from those in your world who shall try to deny that we come in love. Know of this, we come to assist your world. We do not come to take over. We do not come to destruct. We come to give you hope. We are beings from other planets who for many eons of your time have been preparing for these days ahead. We ask each soul that reads of these words to accept in their heart the truth that lies within. For in that place there is knowing that is to take place. There are many who deny, there shall be many who dismiss. There shall be those who know of this truth. Whichever you may be, let it be understood. It shall take place. We give you the opportunity to catch on screen this particular ship. There shall be no contact in the form that those of your planet would like. For this initial presentation, we shall simply be presenting our ship to you. We say to you that this certainly be enough to comprehend initially. All kinds of methods shall be carried out in order to try and penetrate through our security barrier, but they shall be to no avail. Until we can prove to you that we come in love, we will not allow the fullness of our visits to be uncovered. Know of this, this is the beginning, not the end. Your governments and your media will try to disguise us. This will fail. All avenues have been covered by us. Your media will have no choice but to portray the truth, for it shall be there to pass. Friends of Earth, do not be afraid. We beseech you to trust that we come to bring the downfall of those who have misintentions for the well-being of your planet. If we do not intervene now, as has been planned for aeons of your Earth time, then we fear it would be too late. We ask you to accept us in love, for that is why we come. The sayings that your Earth have been aware of via your movie screens, etc., were not merely make-believe. We have been planting and watering seeds of truth on your planet in preparation for these days. For indeed we come in peace. Fill your souls with trust in that knowledge. We are your brothers from other places. Our technology is far advanced. There are those in high places of ruling that know full well of this. Therefore, they know that there would be little point trying to pretend they need weapons to destroy us. On this day that we appear, we ask you to listen only to your hearts and not to the words of those who shall be in great fear of losing their power. For too long your world has lived under a cloud that most of you have been unaware of. If you were to know the truth of what has been hidden from you, you would be appalled and in great disbelief. It is time for your souls to be allowed to be who they are. The veil is to be removed. Be of joy. It is a time for that. You shall know of this as your heart accepts the true reason for our visit to bring an understanding of love. Know this. We choose to leave it at that. Be vigilant. Keep your eyes to the skies. Keep love in your heart. We, the Federation of Light, sign off, giving you encouragement and hope. We begin the ascension into the new world. Each one of you has chosen to be here for this ascension. Choose now whether your human form will accept it through love or reject it through fear. May the highest aspect of your soul fill you with light as you move bravely forward. Gratitude to each one as they assist us in this cause. And then there's various things. And then I note that there are just various other issues. A note from a dimensional intelligence known as Matthew, who we've spoken about, and another one who says, this should dispel any doubts as to the October plan being truthful information. And I add this caveat, nothing is set in stone. If there are cogent reasons to delay the ship's appearance, then it will show itself when safety is assured for you on the ground and your aircraft in the sky. Bellicose forces on the planet don't want you to have proof that we are this close by or even exist, and they will try to keep this from you by whatever means they think is necessary. So then we say, is Harper's October 14th election call a coincidence or part of an anti-ET psyops? Caveat, we know of no way using the scientific method to verify the authenticity of the first contact announcement on October 14, 2008, or to evaluate the predicted events and whether they will in fact occur. By their own terms, the space fleet of the ethical upper-dimensional extraterrestrial civilizations now monitoring Earth are stationed in adjacent dimensions and are not visible to our standard third-dimensional paradigm. Consequently, we take no position as to whether this announcement will take place. As Matthew says, go within for answers and trust your intuition. Our analysis leads us to the conclusion that Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper's surprise call for a snap election on October 14, 2008 is, on the balance of the evidence, most plausibly part of an anti-ET psyops by Harper's Illuminati handlers. Our conjecture is that Harper is aware he is following his handler's orders and is doing so under the cover of Machiavellian parliamentary electoral maneuvers in Canadian politics. If this conjectural hypothesis is correct, then Harper and his Illuminati handlers have made the snap election call to keep the minds of Canadians further enmeshed in terrestrial concerns and oblivious of the challenges which will confront each of us as individuals as the Earth approaches alignment with the galactic center in 2011 and 2012. As the Illuminati rulers in the USA are now threatened with the impending election of Barack Obama, who a number of dimensional sources have identified as a, quote, light being, Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper, who we call Harper, as in HARP, the space-based weapon of mass destruction, will probably be tasked with more extraterrestrial initiatives by the anti-extraterrestrial initiatives by the secret government handlers he serves. Conclusion, does it matter? Canadians with whom I preliminarily discussed these perspectives have dismissively come back with the observation, does it matter? My response to them is that the City of London Inspired Education has programmed Canadians with a deep colonial back programming that prevents their questioning authority and most deeply prevents their questioning the conventional third density paradigm. Canadians have been deeply complicit with the depleted uranium poisoning of the human population and the biosphere while maintaining an international public relations profile of good citizenship. Canada and its key operative, Stephen Harper, have been chosen by the Illuminati to spearhead a scorched earth policy against the presence of an upper-dimensional, ethical, advanced, extraterrestrial polity that is in our environment to help facilitate the elevation of human consciousness and our eventual opening into galactic and universal identity. Fortunately, there's an objective timeline, as it were, in the approaching aligning with the galactic center in 2012 and the entry of the solar system into the photon belt on December 21st, 2012, some say October 28, 2011. No thing and no one that is not fully aligned with these energies can, scientifically, accompany Earth on its dimensional journey through this alignment. Presumably, this includes Stephen Harper and the Illuminati controllers that have held sway on this planet for time immemorial. We will experience as much change in the coming phase, February 2011 to October 2011, as we experienced from 1999 to January 2011. Quote, and this is a quote from Barbara Han Clow in Astroflash. And folks, if you go to exopolitics.com, you can read this article there. And I really urge you to go so. It's so densely packed with information and referrals. And also to Barbara Han Clow's book, The Mayan Code, which I deeply urge you to read. Because that book at the end then relates 2012 and the Mayan calendar to my book, Exopolitics. And it really gives you the inside-out view of what is occurring. Quote, the game has changed. This is Barbara Han Clow. And Bush's State Department, Harper's handlers are the same as Bush's handlers, is losing control. The galactic underworld, we're now in the fourth galactic underworld, that is from 1999 to February 2001. Time acceleration has done its job very well. For those of you who believe the failure of America as an empire is a disaster, it's time to face the fact that the U.S. has been using fear tactics to bully anyone who is in its way, and these policies have made our world extremely unsafe. Also recall, the U.S. took on the mantle of processing the planetary underworld, 1755 to 2011, because it formed itself during 1755 to 1776. So let us trace what exactly happened during August under the influence of the first two eclipses. Then we can envision how this upcoming eclipse might influence the new order on the global game board. And so there's a link there to that article by Barbara Han Clow, so you can begin to see. And this is a 2002 news update. What we have done is to, and you can access all of this at the website, exopolitics.com, is to start a new website, 2012, A Golden Age, so that there you can get both Exopolitics news updates and as well 2012 news updates. And the difference between the two is that Exopolitics is really the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. And our 2012 news updates are updates as our planet and our third dimension begin to approach the alignment with the galactic center, and some say the entering of a very ancient stargate as the Earth begins to slip up into the fifth dimension, and those in humanity that are tuned into the fifth dimension will accompany this new fifth dimensional Earth into that. This has been an official Exopolitics Radio commentary. Please stay tuned for our exclusive interview with PresidentialUFO.com curator Grant Cameron on the Democratic and Republican tickets, Barack Obama and Joe Biden and John McCain and Sarah Palin on Exopolitics and Extraterrestrial Disclosure. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we have a very special guest, Mr. Grant Cameron, who is the curator, I would say, of a landmark website on the internet, presidentialufo.com, which has the complete history of extraterrestrial and UFO issues as regards the U.S. presidency. And we've invited Grant to come here today, now that we know both the Democratic and the Republican tickets. We know all of the other party, the Green Party and the Libertarian Party and various other parties, of course, to comment on what a disclosure / exopolitics aspects might be from this 2008 campaign season and perhaps from the victor. Welcome, Grant.
Well, thanks for having me, Alfred. Pleasure to be on.
Thank you. You know, we're looking at, I've gone to your presidentialufo.com website there, and we have the pictures of John McCain and Barack Obama, and now we have, of course, their vice presidential running mates, Joe Biden, Senator Joe Biden of Delaware, and Governor Sarah Palin of Alaska on the Republican side. And I wondered if you could give us a brief overview from an exopolitics, extraterrestrial UFO standpoint as to how you would evaluate each of these tickets from a disclosure point of view.
Okay. Just to sort of set the record straight, I don't believe that any of the candidates really are going to do anything because, as I've always said, the candidates are basically there to get votes, and they're really not there on issues. And as you've seen with a number of switches with Barack Obama, he switched his very firm positions he had on campaign financing, his position on outer space, he did a complete 180 on it. Offshore drilling, he's completely done a 180. NAFTA, his position on NAFTA. And so keeping in mind that politicians are there to get votes and whatever is the going thing to get a vote, they will move their positions. To look at their sort of the backgrounds as to where they've been in the past on UFOs, Barack Obama really didn't have much in terms of national political participation or whatever, but he was famously asked the question in the October 2007 debate about whether he believed there was life in outer space. And he evaded the question by saying, well, I don't know if there's life in outer space, but I do know there's life on Earth and that it's not being taken care of. And he went into an answer which basically dealt with his number one issue, which is taking care of the poor people in America. That's his position. He has, as I had on my website, taken a very negative position on NASA, had basically said that he was going to take, I think it was $5 billion out of NASA and use it to finance the education program, and basically now is in a position where he's sort of reversed that position and now says that he believes in outer space. He's going to put $2 billion into NASA, and that, I think, is basically because he's looking at the Florida state being a swing state, and that if he goes against NASA, he could end up losing that state, which actually could cost him the election. So he's done a 180 on NASA and outer space, and now believes that it is profitable to put men in outer space. His running mate, Joe Biden, and I think I sent you the clip of Joe Biden, he was asked right after this famous debate where Dennis Kucinich was asked the UFO question and Obama was asked the question about outer space. After that, a number of the networks ran questions with some of the other people who were on that Democratic panel, and Joe Biden was one of the people that was asked whether he believed in UFOs, and he was very, very cynical about the whole thing, said he didn't know Kucinich, and basically said this is garbage, like this conversation going downhill.
Just to read it, he said, I've never met Dennis Kucinich and I don't know Governor Richardson. No, look, I don't think there are UFOs. What the hell? Heck, are we talking about? This has gone downhill real quick, and that was on October 30th, 2007, replying to the UFO question from MSNBC. You have that on your presidentialufo.com website.
Yes. And so if you take a look at the Democratic ticket, it looks like very, very negative sort of attitudes towards outer space, towards UFOs, this sort of thing. Although I will say that one of the problems, as I've always said, in UFOs is that to me it's a social issue or like a political issue like any other issue that really is not too popular, whether it was gay rights or AIDS or some of these very negative things. Or if you take a look at in the campaign when Hillary Clinton at the end was really appealing to the female vote, she talked quite a bit about the women's right to vote, that it was an issue that started back in the mid-1900s, and that it took basically 72 years from the time that women started the movement to get the right to vote until they actually got the vote. So to me, UFOs is that type of thing, that it's up to ufologists to push the issue. And I think one of the advantages of Barack Obama is that if we ever got in a situation in UFOs where it was worth votes, I think Barack Obama is the type of guy who is kind of flexible, that I think he would completely switch his position and suddenly be on our side. But it has to be worth some votes. And the bad thing about Barack Obama is, people in the UFO community will talk about who should they vote for, who's the UFO candidate or whatever. You have to keep in mind that Hillary Clinton, if you take away the caucuses, Hillary Clinton had more votes than Barack Obama. She had like 18 million votes. She was not vetted. She was not considered. She was not talked to by Barack Obama. So people have to sort of keep in mind that if he won't talk to somebody and consider and listen to somebody who has 18 million votes, where is he going to be on your one single vote that you have? Is he really going to listen to you? So it's sort of negative, and generally it would be the Democratic side who would be in favor of UFOs. For example, Hillary Clinton had a UFO background, and I have a Hillary Clinton website. It's hillaryclintonufo.net, and in there I endorse Hillary Clinton, not because I think that Hillary Clinton would do anything more than anybody else, because she, like everybody else, is running to get votes, and at this point in our history, UFOs does not bring in a lot of votes. In fact, it may cost you a lot of votes. But I said that Hillary Clinton had the baggage, the UFO baggage, that she had been involved. She was sympathetic to the issue. Her husband has stated on the record that he is very interested in UFO phenomena, in the stories that go around. So I basically stated that I endorsed her because she was in the position where if you ever got her on the record in an interview or Bill Clinton, they would actually know what they're talking about, and they would actually have to defend the fact that they were involved. Whereas if you got Barack Obama or Joe Biden, they really go like, I don't know anything about it, and they can sort of evade the issue by doing that. So usually it's the Democratic side that is the pro-UFO side, whether it's Jimmy Carter or a number of Democratic people who have had sightings and this sort of thing. But if you take a look at the other side of the ticket this time, you have John McCain, who is a guy who's sympathetic to the UFO issue. He was has been for quite a while the senator for the state of Arizona, and was involved in the Phoenix Light issue. And in the 2000 campaign when he was running, he was confronted on the UFO issue about the Phoenix Light thing. In fact, he was the one that brought up the Phoenix Light issue, that there was a sighting there that hadn't got proper coverage, that he had tried to do what he could to get the answer, and was actually very positive on the UFO issue, and was very familiar with the Phoenix Lights issue of 1997 in Phoenix, where this huge object was seen by thousands of people. Now, again, the problem with him is not so much the problem with the candidate, it's the problem with the UFO community, that you have a situation now where McCain is running around with these open houses or these open forums where he's basically taking questions from the floor. And we as ufologists, I think, in order to advance this issue, have to get to these people, whether it's Obama or whether it's McCain, and actually put the issue to them. And I think if you were to get into an open forum with John McCain, I think you would have a situation where he would respond very positively to the UFO issue. And I think, for example, I think, Alfred, I think you were involved in getting the question, the UFO question, asked of Richardson.
Yes, yes, right. We worked with an employee of Dell Computers in actually preparing that series of questions. And when Governor Richardson went to the Dell Computers headquarters, that person was able to go up and ask the question of Governor Richardson. And I think that that was one of the first times, at least on the Democratic side, that that question was asked. And because Richardson is a fairly articulate person. Now, this brings up an issue, though, Grant, because I want to look at the positive side of things, kind of the glass half full. And Richardson really stuck his neck out because he's a person who had been a strong Clinton person and had been in the Clinton cabinet and was ambassador to the UN on behalf of Clinton. And he was an early Barack Obama supporter and, in fact, incurred the direct ire of Bill Clinton and of Hillary Clinton when he very publicly switched and supported Barack Obama and was actually on the short list for Barack Obama's vice president. And he's a person to whom Barack Obama listens very closely. Now, I say this because Governor Richardson has actually written a preface to a book on Roswell in which he states that he's for a reopening of the issue. So here you have a person who may or may not, if there's an Obama victory, either have a close ear to Obama or be in the Obama cabinet. So I'm just looking at kind of the future dynamics of a Democratic administration from the glass half full point of view.
Okay, but again, the issue has to be something that is seen to advance the situation or where there's a lot of pressure. I think that the vast, almost everything in politics is done under pressure, that if we can create enough pressure, if there's an Obama administration, all these people, whether it's Richardson or whether it's Brzezinski, who's his national security advisor, all these people are very familiar with the UFO situation, and they would be able to advise Obama, who probably doesn't really know very much about it, but you have to give them the opening to push the issue. Because if you recall, when Richardson was actually cornered later on after the Dell incident, where he spoke very positively about UFOs, when it came down, when he was at the end, when he was still running, then he suddenly, after Kucinich took the hit, he was one of the people who was asked that same night about his UFO situation, and he basically said, "No, I don't believe there's UFOs." And basically, I just pushed the Roswell issue. That's why I was pushing it, was because of tourism. And he suddenly backed away. So you have
right.
to give them the opportunity. And that's where I'm saying, in ufology, I think a lot of times what we're looking for is a messiah. We're looking for somebody who's going to come in and save the whole day. They're going to, you know, die for our sins. We get to go to heaven without doing any work. And I think the UFO community still has to do the work. They have to push the issue because it's like any other very unpopular issue in American politics. It didn't happen overnight. That people pushed it, they worked the issue, and eventually the time came when it was ready, and then the politicians jumped on the bandwagon. But I think we have to produce some sort of pressure behind the situation, because a lot of these people involved, if we look at Sarah Palin, for example, really looks like sort of just like a down-to-earth type person, you know, out hunting, this sort of stuff. And I even just started a search today to look at her. Well, I've been looking for about a week for her material on UFOs, no real links. But when you start to look at Wasilla, Alaska, where she was the mayor, where she lives, there's piles of UFO sightings, 62, 1990, 1994, 1995, 1999, three witnesses, 2000, January the 1st, 2000, December 2006, three nights in a row. So I would bet, and I'm starting to make the contacts now, which I'll be able to, in maybe a couple of weeks, be able to get some feedback as to whether they were familiar with this, because there seems to be a lot of sightings there. There's been a lot of sightings in Alaska, and I'm pretty sure that there's going to be some witnesses who are going to say, yeah, the Palins know about this, they've been involved, no big deal, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen. So that's what I'm working on right now. But she's the type of person who really hasn't got any background that in order for us to advance the issue, I think we have to put some pressure, and we have to have those people like Richardson in the background who, when the time is right, when they make the move to move on disclosure, they've got the right people in their cabinets, because I'm sure there's lots of them to be able to go to Hillary, to Bill, all these people. There's lots of people with background who can advise them what to do and what has to be done, but still we have to offer them an opening. And I think Stephen Greer was told that when he was on the Hill, when he had the big news conference in 2001, he went to these congressmen who were very much in favor of this thing, and they said, you get the people and we'll lead the parade, that sort of thing. But we need a bunch of people to provide support to us that no politician wants to come out. If, for example, you had the question asked to Richardson from the Dell guy, but in terms of this 2008 campaign, there really none of the candidates has ever faced the UFO question. So the question is, why should they advance the UFO issue when nobody in the campaign even asked them the question? I think we have to provide them some support and some backing in terms of numbers, in terms of letters. One example I can bring up today is an article that was just published today by Billy Cox, who was involved in, he and I were involved in this incident with the astronaut when Billy Cox did the interview with the former intelligence head for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, Billy Cox and I talked about it after that, and Billy Cox basically agreed with me. He basically said, nobody's going to do anything about the UFO issue until they're forced to, or until there's some money at stake where it's actually worth some votes to them. And Billy Cox has put up an article today which basically is asking for the UFO community to put pressure on the head of the Air Force Chief of Staff and to write a letter to the Air Force Chief of Staff and ask him to release the Stevensville material that they haven't. And he has requested, as a reporter in Florida, he's asked for them to release all the files from the Air Force on the overflights in January at Stevensville, Texas, and really hasn't got a response. And now he's put out an article on the Internet and saying that he wants ufologists and people who are interested to contact the Secretary of the Air Force and try to force this issue. And that's the kind of stuff we have to do. That unless we've got a bunch of people, I said numerous times, if we've got 10,000 people on the Washington Mall on this issue, it will move. But we've got to get some people behind it. We have to get some support to back up these people who rely on votes and rely on pressure to get things done.
Now, Grant, you've been at the forefront in making this point that the ETs and the UFOs and the exopolitics issue is really a social issue. What do you think is preventing the public from making that connect? Because, you know, there are marches in the street for various social causes. And it's very, very difficult to, in a credible way, make a public event around the extraterrestrial issue. It's as though, you know, one of those people who would stand up on a soapbox and say, repent, repent, the end of the earth, the end of the world is nigh. Generally, before we had the Denver ballot initiative, this has been sort of the first legitimate citizen initiative in a long time that is really giving legitimacy to a citizen-driven initiative. How is it that citizens can bridge that gap?
Okay, I would suggest two things. For example, the Peckman, you're talking about the Denver initiative. One of the things that he had was he wanted to raise these signatures, and he has people that are paid to go out and get these signatures. He was having a hard time raising the money. I mean, that's one thing that people could do is, here's a guy who, that's all we need is to get these signatures and to get this ballot going, and it's only a few thousand dollars, and basically he's really got nobody putting money into this campaign, which is a small deal. I mean, you've got Sarah Palin comes in and they've raised $7 million in 24 hours. I mean, we can't raise in the UFO community whatever it is, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 over 6 or 8 months. That's the one of the things that we could do. The other is we have this opportunity, like with John McCain, is you have to be careful how you phrase the question. My question was always, if I were to get to a president or a vice president, the question I asked Dick Cheney was the briefing question. But the question that we had the opportunity just recently to ask is to go to John McCain and to bring up the issue of gas prices. We have gas prices, and we're talking about drilling offshore. We're talking about doing all this kind of stuff. In light of the, ask him the question, in light of the gas prices, is it not feasible that you should look into the rumored stories that the U.S. government has already got the technology to get us out of this gas crisis without having to drill, and put him on the spot where he has to say, not that I have to believe in it, but let's check the rumors that we're saying they actually have the technology now and provide it. But until we get a question in and open it up, and you saw with Richardson, you saw with the question that was asked of Kucinich, that this ball actually does start to roll, that the world isn't going to come to an end if we ask the question. And I know, because I asked Dick Cheney the UFO question, when you're asking a vice president a question like that, your stomach is in your throat. It is a tough thing to do. And we are, like people are selling vacuum cleaners, sales from door to door. It's kind of an issue that we're a little sensitive to be out in the open about, but until we do, nothing's going to happen, I don't think. That's my personal opinion. Okay. And I can go back to a story, a prime story. Bush, when he first came in, said that he was going to release the UFO information. Cheney was there. And one of the most radical people I've met, a person who's used to doing this kind of radical on the edge of social issues, that was Laura Johnstone, came out, and she had worked on a number of issues. She'd been arrested outside the White House, had suddenly decided that she was going to join the UFO community, and she was going to fight to get George Bush to answer the question about UFOs, because he'd promised Charles Huffer in Arkansas that he was going to release the UFO information. So she went on a hunger strike. It lasted for 42 days. Here's a woman who put her life on the line for the UFO community. And she went through, and I did articles on her as she was going through. And just at the end of her hunger strike, I went to California to see her, and she had ended the hunger strike. So I said, Laura, why did you end the hunger strike? And she said, basically simple, because the UFO community is the most disjointed community I've ever seen. Nobody's working together in any other organization, whether it's Greenpeace, all these different groups she'd worked for. Everybody, even though they disagreed with everybody else, all worked towards common goals and knowing that the issue has to go forward. And she said, in the end, it came down to this. If the UFO community didn't give a damn, why should I die for them? And she ended the hunger strike. But here was a woman who was getting publicity. She was being interviewed all over the United States of America. Everybody was picking her up. There was even a comment from Cheney's White House office on the issue about her on the hunger strike. She had a congressman behind her. She had the ball rolling. And the UFO community basically said, she's crazy. She's just making us look bad. And those kind of things that we have to sort of work together. And we have to realize that the disclosure issue is the top issue. And you and I and everybody may have disagreements about how you're doing things, I'm doing things, but there is one issue that we all have to work together and push it to make it work. We can't be cutting each other down. There is an issue that we all believe is the most important issue in the world, and we have to work together to push this issue and get it out, no matter how much we might disagree with how you're doing it or how I'm doing it.
Well, you know, just to carry that forward, again, within the glass half full, I was very pleasantly surprised, and I'm going to just set something up so you can comment on it from an ET point of view. Over the past couple of days, I went up to the Barack Obama official website, which is barackobama.com, and there's a feature there called mybarackobama.com, where you can set up your own website in the Barack Obama website, where you can set up topics and for discussion. And inside the official Barack Obama website, there's actually a discussion that's set up with HAARP and weather manipulation and whether Hurricane Gustav was a product of HAARP weather manipulation, which is a very sophisticated topic. I know that we've done 4 radio programs on it on Vancouver Co-op Radio with independent scientist Lorraine Murray, and it's very sophisticated, and there's a lot of learning on this. And so it just strikes me that some enterprising exopolitics UFO people would, in good faith, want to go up to barackobama.com and begin to open up exopolitics you know, chat areas under mybarackobama.com and just begin to bring up that issue. Because I think that I found that that campaign is a relatively open-minded campaign. And I know that there's a lot of dimensional information coming through now, that campaign may well be a disclosure-minded channel. So I just kind of want to pass that on.
Well, that's a good idea. We should just do it, you and I, and we put some correspondence together. I'm sure Steve Bassett would be interested. And,
and one can go up and one registers at the campaign, and then you can open up your own account called mybarackobama.com, and you can chat about, you know, whatever social issue you want. So
it's an excellent idea, and I know my mother's a big Barack Obama fan, and I had to go buy her some buttons, and I managed to, through the help of some people in the States, buy the Barack Obama buttons, and now I'm getting inundated with emails from him, and I guess we should maybe send some emails the other way. And I've found that when you ask the question, you think that the world's going to come to an end, but it doesn't, and things actually start going. So that's an excellent idea. I think we should do it.
And so maybe doing this kind of education during the campaign period from the inside with Barack Obama supporters, and likewise doing it with McCain supporters, you know, just to make it a nonpartisan issue. You know, I mean, everybody has their own personal political views, okay? But just to take it from an extraterrestrial point of view, then maybe that's a salutary approach that we can use. Well, you know, we've just about come to the end of the segment here. It's gone by very quickly, and I wondered if you'd like to sort of leave our listeners with some thoughts, because we have about 60 days or so till the election day, and just what they can do from an exopolitics standpoint really to advance our mutual cause, and how they should approach this issue vis-a-vis the U.S. presidency.
Okay, I think, as I've mentioned some of them already, Peckman needs some help with the Denver Initiative. People should go to his website and try to help him out however they can, because that is an issue that did get a tremendous amount of publicity. I think that because these guys are now opened up and opening up the questions, I think someone should still try to get a question to McCain, and I think the safest way to phrase it is the energy issue to get the thing opened up, and I think it'll open up from there. And I think people can do something very simple. Go to search Billy Cox's blog and his article from his newspaper today, where he's appealing for help from the UFO community to do something. And I think those kind of things and the initiative with the Barack Obama, I'm certainly going to check into this. And I think there's enough people out there that we can get the thing going and at least have a discussion inside his camp and see if any of his people pick up on it, or he's got a huge number of people. It's an opportunity for us to get in there and interact with these people. And I will continue to work on the Palin thing to see if we can get a connection. I think we may end up getting a connection there. And I will continue to my update sites to post all the articles. There's quite a bit of material coming out related to the candidates, and people can stay updated by following my UFO update site.
Excellent. Well, thank you very, very, very much, Grant, for joining us. And we hope that you can come on again and keep us updated in the future as developments happen, and perhaps even after Election Day, once we have a new presidency.
Sounds good, and let's keep in touch on this Barack Obama idea. I love it.
Excellent. Okay, we've been with Grant Cameron, who is the producer and curator of presidentialufo.com. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. You know, during the break, our stellar artistic director, Arvi Romero, and I were having our usual philosophical discourse and conversation. And what Arvi commented to me, I think, really brought this to the fore. And that is that in the two subjects that we have covered today in today's Exopolitics Radio program, I mean, we have covered today three amazing confluent events. The U.S. election, which is a multi-layered event, which has tremendous implications for the future of Exopolitics and ET disclosure. The now announced Canadian election, which appears to be a false flag operation and an anti-extraterrestrial psyops in order to counter what appears to be a dimensionally channeled communication about some sort of an event or communication from the upper dimensional extraterrestrials that are now visiting Earth, which may or may not occur around October 14th. Now, this has been confirmed by at least three individuals who are galactic telepaths so far, one in Australia and two in the U.S. So we'll see. As we say that there's no way using the scientific method to verify that this will occur, but it does seem odd using exopolitical analysis that the Canadian Prime Minister has chosen to go forward with an election that looks, on a pattern analysis, as though it's an anti-ET psyops. This is really an occasion on which people will, as they're faced with these kind of pre-2012 events, will either react with love or with fear, with rejection or with acceptance. And that is how I have found putting out this story, you know, from the conventional press and people who are in the, say, Toronto media market. They come back and say, oh, this story has no credibility. How can you say that the Prime Minister of Canada would call an election based on, you know, an anti-extraterrestrial psyops? This has no credibility. Please stop sending me emails. And I've received that same response from individuals in the progressive market. Conversely, I've received very positive and grateful responses from people across many different political specters. You know, they're progressives, or they're non-political, but their kind of inner vision and their inner souls are really open to a dimensional shift, to looking outside of the box of the time-space continuum that we're in, and realizing that something quite extraordinary is happening. And this is where Exopolitics is really moving and opening up inside of the box of the dimensional shift. And I would just urge you all to begin to open your access and your studies. Go to our exopolitics.com website and begin to look at our 2012 Golden Age website and the materials there. Those of you who haven't started looking at that material, you may want to start reading books like The Mayan Code by Barbara Han Clow, because I think that it's this breadth of material and realizing the wider dimensional environment in which we are, that is a true message that the upper dimensional extraterrestrials are bringing us. This is Exopolitics Radio. which is produced by Phoenix Productions of Phoenix, Arizona at www.phoenixproductions.com. Director Arvi Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and dimensionally ascending, scientifically always appropriately grounded day, week, and life. Thank you.